It is another Saturday in CCO land. This one happens to be the last full day of summer. And this is your chance to get some free advice from what we used to call an auto mechanic, better known as an ASC certified technician from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick Stoffel is with us. Hey, Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
I mean, you don't mind being called a mechanic, right? I mean, that's kind of what you are.
You know, it's funny. There's a lot of different mechanic, technician, grease monkey, you know, call it what you want. We're just here to fix your car.
Absolutely. And you're here to help folks do that very thing. A lot of folks listening may need to bring in their vehicle, your car, your truck, your van for some service, but you kind of want to know ahead of the game what might be ailing. And that's what Nick does. He'll give you a little analysis over the radio. And time goes by so quickly, as Nick knows. So don't wait. If you have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you, either by phone or by text. And what's the number for either? 651-461-9226. Well, hearing that forecast from Al, it looks like summer, even though this is the last full day of technically summer, it looks like kind of a nice week, except we need the rain. But that kind of helps you guys get caught up working on cars, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. You know, before we know it, the leaves will be turning, things will be getting colder, and white stuff will be falling out of the sky. So you don't want to, you know, we got a little time here, but we're transitioning, so you want to be prepared for what's coming ahead.
Is there I'm thinking of testing out, like in the wintertime, is there a way to test out all the seals and everything to see if your air conditioner works? What about the opposite? What can we do to test to see if we got good heat? It's kind of hard to do when it's 80 degrees.
It is hard to do, but the heat is, you know, the air conditioning is kind of a separate system. As you know, it's contained with refrigerant where the heat is actually generated from the engine. So if your vehicle is running properly, properly running temp, in all likelihood, the heat will work. Of course, the fan needs to operate and some other of the internal components, but the heating system is more likely to operate with the engine. So if your car is running poorly or running too hot or too cold, you might have an issue with your heat. But for the most part, I would assume that you'll be fine.
Just another note to make your question sooner rather than later. Nick takes his leave about 7:45. So again, don't wait. Call us. Text us 651-461-9226. Text came in this morning and it says this: 2002 Buick LeSabre V6, 3,800cc engine, sometimes has a hesitation when you try to start it. Turn it off and on again, it will fire up right away. I replaced the control modular, texter says, the starter and the battery in 2023. What do you think could be the problem?
On that vintage, my suspicion is, and if you're a do-it-yourselfer, there's a fuel regulator. You kind of need to find the fuel line going up to the rail where the injectors are. At the end of that rail, there's a little diaphragm with a hose on it. That's the fuel regulator. It uses engine vacuum on that vintage to kind of control the fuel pressure. If you remove that little vacuum hose and you see any fuel or any wetness in there, that diaphragm is ruptured. So what happens is you've been driving the vehicle, it's running fine, you go to shut it off, that ruptured diaphragm will allow fuel to leak in and essentially kind of flooding the engine a little bit. So when you go to start it, it's kind of, you know, it doesn't want to fire up. You cycle the key, you go to start it the second time, it's cleared its throat essentially, and it fires right up.
All right. I'm looking at some other notes here. I tell you what, we're getting some phone calls too. Let's do this, Nick. Let's grab some phone calls. Chuck is first up calling from Minneapolis. Chuck, good morning. What is your question for Nick?
Hey, Nick, appreciate what you're doing there. I have a 2010 Honda Accord V6, and it's a brake. There's a little bit of a brake issue. When I drive, which I'm doing right now, I go 30, 35, stop at a stop sign, stoplight, no vibration whatsoever. But when I get out on the highway and I have to slow down or anything like that, I put my foot on the brake and my steering wheel shakes, and I have a wobble that way or whatever, and I'm just wondering if I got bad rotors or, you know, uneven brake pads or what. I don't, you know, any clues?
I think you're right on with the rotors. the reason you don't notice at slower speeds is because there's not as much heat generated because you're not going as fast, so the brakes don't have to work as hard to slow the vehicle down. You get up to 60 miles an hour, and that rotor is spinning at 60 miles an hour. You apply the brakes, so the pads are squeezing that rotor. There's a lot more heat generated, so if there's an imperfection in that rotor, you notice it. So that rotor is essentially vibrating. It's on the front wheel, so you feel it in the steering wheel, which is obviously connected to the front wheel. So I suspect that you have a pair of rotors that are probably warped. In all likelihood, have someone get a look at it. You know, measure the pads. The pads are getting thin. You'll have to kind of base it on your comfort level, but you might need a brake job.
All right. 651-461-9226. Back to the phones. Larry calling in from Invergrove, I believe, this morning. Hi, Larry. What's your question for Nick?
Hi. Good morning, guys. Great show. I listen to it all the time. Anyways, Nick, my question is this. I've got a 2014 Ford Super Duty 6.2 gas. Okay. Quite a while back, I had a checked engine light. Luckily, a friend of mine had a handheld scanner, popped it in. The code that came up, you probably already know, knock sensor. So I kept driving it because I was in a super remote location all summer and didn't have any knock. It starts right up, didn't have any fuel mileage issues. So I got to thinking and did some checking the next time I came home from up there and did some research. And I think what it may be is like a coil pack might have a crack in it and give you the same code, but it clears and I won't have it for a couple weeks and then it'll come back. And I don't know, there's no rhyme or reason. I've counted the cycles of ignition. Cycles, that's got nothing to do with it. I'm open to any input that you may have.
So as you know, the purpose of the knock sensor, it's measuring pre-detonation. So the idea behind the computer system is it wants to advance the timing as far as it can to make it the most optimal fuel economy, emissions, running quality. Well, once you hit that threshold, the pinging will happen because things have gone too far with timing. So the knock sensor will sense that and bring it back just a little bit. So I think... Honestly, I think what you need to do is the next time it's on, you know, your friend's handheld too gets you the code, but I think you need to get it in somewhere where they can look at the freeze frame data, look at the sensor, you know, measure the resistance, do a couple tests with the sensor and the wiring itself. They can investigate and inspect the coils also. But I'd like to see that live data because, you know, putting an knock sensor in it, sure, we can do that. But you're right. Is that going to fix it? We won't know until we dig a little bit deeper.
All right. We need to take a break, a quick one, Nick, and we come back. We'll pick up on more phone calls and text messages. Any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, weather-wise, partly cloudy skies. We expect highs near 81, about a 40% chance of showers. Looking at the radar, it could happen. Right now on CCO, 66 degrees. Stay with us. And again, so good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Here every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break, Nick Stoffel, ASE Certified Tech at Lloyd's Automotive, answering those questions this morning as usual. And Nick, again, for those folks that maybe are listening and say, you know, I gotta bring my vehicle in for service, how do they find you guys at Lloyd's?
Yes, if you have a question, want a little advice before you take it in, feel free to call 651-228-1316. And if you happen to be on Grand, it's going to be a beautiful week. If you're out for a stroll, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand. That's on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And then, as always, please check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We'll do that, and we'll also get you that info before Nick leaves us, which is close to 7:45 this morning. Callers and texters, Nick, let's put you back to work. John, first up, you're calling from Oak Grove, I believe. John, thanks for waiting. What is your question?
Hi, I got a 17350 Ford with the diesel 6.7. I got 85,000 miles on it, and it's coming up with low pressure on the gas low pressure system, and it says, and then it says it's like lack of power. We have hardly driven it the last year or so because we got rid of our fifth wheel, so we're driving our other car. So I don't know if that's part of the problem or not, but.
You know, I'm not 100% sure either. I would be concerned about the fuel condition, the fuel filter, any moisture in there. I would think there'd be a lack of power with low fuel pressure. So I guess I would make sure the fuel system is sufficient. And then, you know, the next thing we do is actually literally put a gauge on there and check the pressure, you know, try to figure out what's going on. So I don't have a sure answer for you other than the fact to start with the basics, check fuel pressure, check the fuel, make sure there's no moisture in it, and then just kind of go from there.
Yeah, get it in. Thanks, John. Good luck. Roger is calling in as well from LeSueur, Minnesota, I believe. Roger, good morning. What is your question for us?
Hi, guys. I got a 2006 Buick LaCrosse with 150,000 miles on it. In 2021, the oil pressure sensor came, the readout on the car came up and said I had low oil pressure. So I took it in the shop, and they said it was probably just the pressure sensor. So they put in a new pressure sensor, and now then in 2022, it came up again and said it had low oil pressure, and I just drove it home, and by the time I got home, it said I had no oil pressure, and I looked, and there was no oil left in the car. So I towed that in and had it replaced again, and he said it blew the insides out of the pressure sensor. And now this year, 24, it did it again. It blew out all the oil out of the car. Any information on something like that?
So if the engine oil pressure is getting too high where it's blowing the oil out, we need to look at like the crankcase system. You know, something's pressurizing. You know, the idea is, you know, the internal engine components are rotating. They create some vacuum and pressure and such. There's a PCV system that should keep that pressure under control. So if it's getting so bad that you're blowing gaskets or blowing things out, something there is restricted or plugged. So I would, you know, take it back to your mechanic. First thing, just make sure that they're using a good quality part there. I know the car's got a few years on it. Sometimes the lower end aftermarket parts might not be the right fit. You might want to get an OE quality part there. So I would start with that. And then just make sure that they can measure the crankcase pressure. Actually measure that and see what it's at. Let's make sure we're not losing, giving too much pressure so things are blowing out and then it's consuming that oil and burning it up. And then, like you said, you have no oil in the engine. You can't do that too many times if you have bigger problems.
Okay. Before we take a look at that forecast, let me grab one more text for you, Nick. 2013 Ford Taurus texter said, I just had a new master cylinder, brake booster, and calipers installed. Well, now the brake pedal doesn't spring back as quickly as it used to. The brakes also seem to stay on for a second after taking the foot off the brakes. Any idea what it could be?
I would bleed the brakes, for sure. Maybe we got a little air in there. There's also a rod that the brake pedal's depresses, you know, through the master cylinder, through the booster. There's an adjustment on that rod. Maybe something needs a little adjusting just to kind of give that feel back or that sweeping motion as you're depressing the pedal. It should be pretty close. So I would take it back, have them make sure there's no air in the brakes, number one. Bleed them out one more time. And then the second thing would be to look at that rod at the base of the brake pedal and see if it has any adjustment that can maybe make it a little better for you.
I am impressed. How do you know all this stuff? Could it be years of practice?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I have an odd memory. I remember odd things. And, you know, it's just, you know, I've been working at a gas station since I was 15, so a few things stick, I guess.
Good things to remember in your case, right? Perfect. All right. Hang on, Nick. We'll take a look at that forecast. Nick will be with us till just about 7:45. So don't wait. Call us, text us, any kind of a car care question at 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, I know our time goes by so quickly. 651-461-9226. Send it via text or call, whatever car care question you may have. It's kind of a general question. Nick does not say anything about which vehicle it is, but evidently their engine light went on, and they want to know what that means. Do you have about 3 hours?
Well, not necessarily. So the engine light is by description, it's an emissions light. You know, so once something happens within the vehicle's operating system, and it can be as simple as a gas cap or as potential misfire or anything in between. So there's there's hundreds of codes that can be stored. So if the light is on, the rule of thumb, the light is on, it's operating okay, make an appointment, get it into your shop, your dealership, whoever, have them do an assessment, diagnosis. If it is where the light is on, it's running poorly, you need to get in a little bit sooner, obviously. If that light starts to flash, that's bad. You need to stop the vehicle and have it towed in.
Yeah, I think I remember reading about the flashing light. What could that mean? I mean, it could be something catastrophic, I suppose.
Well, and they consider like a catalyst damaging issue, so it'd be like a significant misfire or something where the vehicle might be running way out of the parameters that it's feeling comfortable about. So, like enough sensors have sent a warning that the computer system has decided to make the light flash, which means that it's bad. Yes, you need to get that in. The fix might not be bad, but it's bad for the engine to run that way.
Okay. Interesting question. I don't think we've seen here before. It concerns drive belts. How many drive belts are there in cars these days, and how often should they be changed?
Most often, there's just one large serpentine belt that kind of weaves its way through all the different items. And it's replaced based on inspection. And I know years ago we had those V-belts that needed adjusting quite often and replacement quite often. But I think with the advancement in parts and quality and the way things are designed, they last a really long time. So when we do a service, like, you know, you get into the fall season before winter, belts are one of the things that we're going to look at, belts and hoses. And if we see enough cracking in that serpentine belt, we're going to recommend it, because we don't want to have a situation where the belt were to fail. Once again, it could drive the water pump, the power steering, the alternator. You lose that belt, you won't have much time to drive the vehicle, so you're going to end up on a tow truck again. So have it inspected when you have it serviced. There isn't a interval necessarily that they are replaced at.
I noticed, and we talk about this from time to time, especially this time if you're around kids getting back, going back to school, or maybe for the first time away at college. What kind of tests are done? Does a technician look for if a parent or grandparent wants to buy a used car and they want to have it inspected? What's involved in the inspection?
You know, we kind of have an inspection that takes approximately an hour, and really you're going front to back, top to bottom. We mentioned hoses, belts. We've talked about brakes today. You know, it's a really thorough visual inspection. The idea is, if you're buying a vehicle, we want to make sure you're buying goods as they're sold, right? Like someone's telling you that this is the condition of the vehicle. We want to make sure that's true. The other things we wanted to find are things that might be coming up soon. Maybe it's going to be due for a brake job, or maybe there's some tires that are worn, or other things that you're not aware of, or even the seller might not be aware of, that we want to inform you, so when you're negotiating the vehicle price or in terms, you have a little more information. And the last thing is, if somebody, if there's a catastrophic problem that we can head off, we want to try to do that. Make sure you're not buying a lemon, I guess.
I was trying to shorten up this paragraph. About oil, we talk about oil a lot here. People want to know about oil, motor oil. What is the deal with this high mileage? If you have a vehicle, they're asking, and on the container of oil, motor oil, for high mileage vehicles, is that oil that much different? And what's the difference, would you think?
You know, I think that the base oil is the same. It's the additives that they put in there. You know, there's a lot of engineering, a lot of research, and, you know, they think that they can better serve a higher mileage, more worn engine. And it may be true. You know, I don't know if I would stick a lot of money into it. You know, if it's the same price or similar price, sure, you know, it's a peace of mind. There's probably some benefits to it. But I think the best thing you can do is use a branded quality oil. You know, it doesn't have to be the most expensive oil, but definitely not the least expensive either. A branded oil, and service it on a regular basis. You know, I know we talk about that a lot, but, you know, on the conventional oil, I like to see it changed at 3,000 miles. On the synthetic oil, 5,000 miles. And I think that's the most important, the biggest thing you can do to keep your car on the road.
You know, we talk about conventional and synthetic. I wonder how much conventional oil is still around. You know, I mean, maybe it still is. The reason I bring that up is just yesterday I went to change oil in a lawnmower, and I thought, well, I've been using synthetic just for the fun of it. So I went to the store and I bought what they recommended, meaning the manufacturer on this old Briggs, 30 weight oil. So I bought that and put in the right amount, and it looked clear, unlike the previous years where it had kind of that, tinge to it. Could they be just blending or making all synthetic and not telling you that?
Well, I think that most, and I don't work for oil companies, so I can't say for a fact.
Yeah, right.
I think most of the oil that we have now is like a semi-synthetic, right? Like, there's some all-terrain, there's some science, they're doing some things to get the most out of the oil, too. A lot of it's good. But I think just like you're saying, the straight conventional stuff that we had years ago probably isn't around much at all anymore. But most of it, I feel, is like a semi-synthetic, and then obviously the more costly stuff is a full synthetic, which there's just a lot more work that goes into it, which makes it a lot more expensive, but better quality also.
What's the thinnest oil you've seen these days? I know my son, as I recall, in his hybrid, he uses 0.16. Didn't you tell me at one time there's even a thinner weight?
Yeah, I don't know if we have any 0.8 on hand at the moment, but as it's evolved, as you know, it used to be 10.40, 10.30, 5.30, yeah. 5.20. 0.20 is kind of the mainstay right now. 0.16 is kind of working its way in. I don't know how much thinner they can go. I know emissions are a big deal and an important thing, as is fuel economy. I know we want to be on top of that, but we also want our engines to last a long time. So I don't think they'll get much thinner, because I think the tolerances get too tight, that the longevity might not be there if we get much further.
What about, I was reading too the other day, some directions, detergent. Are there detergents in most, if not all, motor oil?
Absolutely. The additives, the detergents, we had a caller, a texter a couple weeks back asking about what are these European specifications or some of these manufacturers. Well, it's because there's different additive packages, different detergents. Maybe the materials that they're using when they're manufacturing these engines may or may not have a precious material in it, and they want to have that brought in from the oil. So there's a lot of science behind it, and I believe for the most part it's good. I think you can go too far with it, obviously, but once again, you just follow that owner's manual, use the appropriate specified oil, follow a regular schedule, and you should be fine.
Excellent. Well, I'll tell you what, Nick, we're just about out of time. Would you come back again and help us out next week?
I would love to.
All right. And in the meantime, folks need some help from Lloyd's, tell us how we find you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have a question, need advice, give us a call, 651-228-1316. And once again, it's going to be a beautiful week. If you're out on Grand Avenue on a stroll, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand Avenue. That's on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And finally, I'd really appreciate if you checked out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Always do, Nick, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Danny.
Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul.